With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.
In keeping with all of our focus on energy and things, climate, and you know what, we go around that a lot on this show for the greenwashing that we observe. We're going to go back to the movie, the climate, the movie. Climate, the movie, and the cold truth. Now, it is available on not on this site, but you can search for it yourself. And I know I use the Clintel.
Yeah.
Yes, YouTube. I use Clintel's version on YouTube. Anyway, we're going to go back in and start a little bit more of it, just give you another taster or two. And the first segment we're going to go to is talk about the supposed climate consensus. Here's what they have to say.
Yeah, let's listen to them.
I've never liked hoax. I think scam is a better word, but I'm willing to live with hoax.
But why are we told again and again that man-made climate chaos is an undisputed scientific fact, beyond question, beyond doubt? To answer this, we must examine the so-called consensus on climate change.
Thank you very much.
Until the 1980s, global warming was little more than an eccentric scare story put about by radical environmentalists. But then the cause was picked up by an ambitious young senator, Al Gore, who would soon become vice president. $1 billion a year of public money was made available for research into climate change. This quickly rose to $2 billion.
Up to that level.
Academic researchers in various disciplines began to apply for this climate funding.
If you want to qualify for money that's labeled climate, well, you take whatever you're doing and you add a little bit of climate speak to it, and away you go.
You're dealing with the sexual habits of cockroaches, you'll add, and the impact of climate.
So all I have to do is add a little wrinkle to my grant application to explain how, well, I'm worried that climate change will mean the death of all the maple trees. And so right away, you qualify for funding.
Academics of every kind lined up for climate funding. Climate became an exciting new area of interest for sociologists, biologists, professors of English literature, lecturers in gender studies, and many more.
And it also served to create a community. I mean, you know, you've become a climate scientist now, even though you know nothing about the physics of climate.
Thousands of papers were published on climate change and prostitution, climate change and beer, climate change and the Black Death, climate change and disability, climate change and video games, and everything else imaginable.
There's an almost comical list of studies out there. Just do a Google search on climate change and everything comes up.
And isn't that the truth? It is all about just the funding. The Pied Pipers leading everyone down this garden path because that's where the funding was made available. Incidentally, the movie here referred to the ambitious Senator Al Gore. Al Gore, later on, at the time when the Indian mechanical engineer turned climate scientist, Rajendra Pachauri, was at the helm, these gentlemen were at the fore of IPCC, the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, when they got the Nobel Prize, of all things. Or when the institution, IPCC itself, got the Nobel Prize. And Al Gore's made quite some money out of it. That is where the funding is. And, you know, as he was talking about the sexual habit of cockroaches and climate change, like all of this, and then reflecting back down on the weekend's climate marches where you had children having placards from everything from Palestine to LGBTQ rights to honor the treaty to climate to everything. It's all one mishmash. It's a bandwagon. Everyone jumps on it, and that's where the money is. Who buses these kids there? Who drives them, gets them back? Who pays for the traffic management when these marches go on in our main cities? Because I know that veterans find it hard for getting approval of traffic management plans during Anzac parades. I know small towns holding small shows over weekends, different activities, they find traffic management costs prohibitive. Who is funding this?
Yeah, look, there's lots of different routes that will be used to fund this stuff. But the young people that were protesting last week, they're so entitled. They haven't really been educated at the genesis of the stuff that's all around them, the stuff that they enjoy, the material things they have, and they want to blame all our forebears for being innovative and smart. You know, it doesn't matter where you look, most of the indicators about life expectancy and similar things are all better. They're not worse until recent years, actually. I'm shooting myself in the foot. I think the indicator for life expectancy has gone down in recent years, thanks to what we know about the cause of all the anxiousness in recent years and other things that have been altering
and, you know,
our way of life.
So you're chatting because he spoke about climate change. I think there's a Professor Dick Lindzen talking about climate change, and he just threw it that out there that you can even find something about the sexual or the mating habits of cockroaches. I just Googled climate change and sexual habits, and there's a whole list there, climate change and reproductive health. Turns out climate crisis is disrupting our sex lives. Eco-friendly sex, and what does it mean? Climate justice, sexual and reproductive health. This is ridiculous. But again, this is where the funding is. If we look at our universities, Victoria University of Wellington has a New Zealand Climate Change Research Institute. Otago University has a Climate Change and Centre for Sustainability. Canterbury University, Auckland University, Environmental Research Centres, Climate Research, Department of Geology, Climate Systems Laboratory, University of Waikato. And they even have a world first, University of Waikato, drum roll please, world first Bachelor of Climate Change degree. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if it has a division on climate change for the ruling class. I wonder if it has one on that. We could write screeds on that. So going back to this whole segment on consensus, the narrative has always been that 97% of world scientists agree. Well, as they showed alluded to in that clip, 97% is made up of all sorts of eclectic supposed academics and certainly not climate science. And I never forget, not all about climate science, and I never forget Professor Bob Carter, the late Bob Carter from Townsville, told me, "Don, there's at least 100 strands to climate science." He knew at best, he said, 10 of them. He would know a little bit about the rest, but he could really talk eloquently about 10. So we know that physics is the eminent science involved in climate variation. And there we have these 30,000 supposed academics and anything, mostly making up the 97% that's often touted, thinking they know about the 100 strands of climate science. They haven't a clue, really. And that's the mainstream media have just put that out and it's stuck. Thankfully, there's people that we've, in that movie we've just taken a clip from. In the movie, we've had like McKitterick, Y. Leckie, Patrick Moore, Tom Heller, Willie Soon, Steve Coonan, William Happer, Tom Nelson, Richard Lindzen, Benny Pizer, John Clauser, the Nobel Prize winner, and the lady, Bally Eunice, I think her name was. I mean, these people are no slugs, and yet they've been treated with derision by so many people, and especially by mainstream media. It's a shame. It's a disgrace, really. But hopefully we're getting a bit of traction, and thanks to this movie, it should help get regained some.
As the narrative shows, you can buy your way into a consensus. But let's listen to a bit more of the movie here. And talk about the climate. I shouldn't call it a movie, it's a documentary. Mm. And more about the climate bandwagon and who all have jumped on it and why.
Yeah, all the grifters.
Western governments and their senior civil servants were more than willing to address the climate problem. Green taxes were levied, green regulation expanded, and this in turn generated more climate-related jobs and activity.
Take the banking sector, for instance. You say to a banker, we want you to file reports with the regulatory commission on how climate change is going to affect your bank. Well, a banker doesn't know anything about this subject, so then they have to commission studies from academics, And of course, the academics are happy to come and tell them, well, it's going to be terrible for your bank. It's going to cause all kinds of problems. And you need to give us money to research this.
Green subsidies and regulation meant there was now money to be made in climate. Renewables firms sprouted. Consultancy firms offered advice on what they called sustainability and climate compliance.
It's a wonderful business opportunity, okay? You want climate, we'll give you climate.
The renewables industry alone now turns over $1 trillion a year, and that's expected to double in the next few years.
What used to be a cottage industry is now blossomed to become a major part of the world economy.
The growth of this climate industry has seen an explosion of highly paid green jobs. Chief sustainability officers, carbon offset advisors, ESG consultants, climate compliance lawyers, and countless others.
And the jobs, talking about the jobs here. And I, being me, I looked up seek.co.nz to see if I pop in the word climate, how many results do I get? I get 273 results as of right now, but I'm Googling it. So just one term, climate, in the seek.co.nz. And what are those, some of the job titles? Chief Advisor Maori Policy to the Ministry for Environment. Another chief advisor, this is one is at Rotorua, one at Christchurch through MFA. One is to TSB Bank, Climate Financial Risk Analyst. Two of those, one in Wellington, other in Auckland. Another in New Plymouth. Then PDP Consultants, Intermediate to Senior Climate Change Advisor. Auckland Council, Low Carbon Specialist. Downer New Zealand, Senior Environment and Sustainability Advisor. Sir Peter Blake Charity, Program Manager Climate. Cohesion Consulting, Sustainability Lead. Office Max, Sustainability Advisor. Transport Rebuild East Coast, Sustainability Advisor. And it goes on and on. Carbon Consultant, ESP. I mean, there's screeds and screeds of this. And this is where this is going. If there was no money to be had, if free market and the laws of supply and demand and the basic rules of economic that if something is unviable, we don't run with it, we don't rob the public purse to, you know, fulfill these pipe dreams, this wouldn't be happening. But right now it is. And we have these, the Waikato University climate change papers. They speak about what could be your career opportunities. This is the battle of climate change. And the children, the students are told, what could they be? They could be a climate action specialist, climate change manager, community educator, environmental scientist, foreign affairs advisor, EV advisor, media advisor, politician, planner, public relations expert, political scientist, on and on. There is, and there are, among the various papers they have to do, one of that is climate change law. Mm-hmm. It addresses the law concerning climate change, including international laws, emissions trading, carbon pricing systems, regulations to mitigate emissions. This is a gravy train like none other I have seen.
Oh, these are total predators. They're training predators, actually, and parasites. Sorry to be so blunt. But when I was in Wellington, in my last ever press statement, effectively, it was with the Don Post, and I think I said climate change was the world's greatest job scheme ever devised. And I thought I was perhaps speaking a bit stupidly at the time, but yeah, last hurrah, so to speak. And 15 years on, was I wrong? Look at it. It is tentacles everywhere. And, you know, the leeches, the legal leeches that are going to come into this paradigm now are just, well, they're just waiting to bare their teeth and have a go at everything. Doesn't matter what it is, the legal profession, the consultancies, the big accountancy firms, they are just sitting there licking their chops. And I don't know why those of people like the regular citizens like you and me aren't up in arms saying we don't want a bar of this because we don't want to pay for it. And certainly we don't want the environment that we work in paying for all this parasitic behavior from these professionals.
And we were talking about heroes, Don, earlier. For me, heroes are these people who've stood staunch against the consensus, not jumped on the bandwagon, taken hits to their pockets, most definitely to their personal lives, to their relationships, everything, and yet continued. And we'll listen, hear from a few of them.
The background of natural variability, the response would be we can't have natural changes as an effect. It has to be human caused. And some of that was directly stated, but most of it was indirect. Your funding for this kind of project will be dropped. This kind of project doesn't go anywhere.
By that time, anything that contradicted the narrative of global warming as a serious problem was not going to get funded.
Editors of academic journals came under pressure not to accept papers which were deemed to be skeptical of the climate crisis.
We will not publish anything that questions this. I mean, it's not something surreptitious.
Scientists who dared to point out in public that there was no climate chaos began to be sidelined and shunned.
If a scientifically qualified person stands up and says, we don't see an upward trend in the data on Pacific typhoons, well, suddenly they lose standing to address the topic of Pacific typhoons, not because what they said is wrong, but because it's off message. They can marginalize any kind of criticism of the narrative by saying, you're not qualified to talk about this because you don't support the narrative. That is then, and then having marginalized everyone who doesn't support the narrative, they can turn around and say, well, everybody who counts supports the narrative, so we must be right.
And this whole thing about canceling the narrative. They've canceled the narratives down. Sorry, my apologies. I'm talking over you. They've canceled the narrative over the COVID time of anyone who dared to say anything different from the norm. You were. It was disinformation. It was misinformation. And all of this is, I mean, for me, disinformation is anything that the establishment doesn't like. This week, I believe the climate change, what do they call themselves? It's a long fangled, it's something called the Climate Disinformation Night School. It's being launched. Byron Clark and a few other experts who were earlier experts in the far right and wrote that book called Fear are going to be telling you how to think. Whosoever, I mean, God bless you, whosoever has paid the fees to go and endure 8 weeks of it, you have my utmost respect of how you'll be doing this and how willing you are to be led along and to be taught how to think. But is this what we want for our children?
Do you think they'll have a section in that night school on how to work among the greenwashing that they put out all the time? Do you think?
I would like to know, you know, the credentials. There's a far-right researcher and there's a librarian, I believe, going by the lady's accent on a couple of interviews. She's from America, a librarian. What are the qualifications to talk about climate change when we have people like John Clauser, 2022, a Nobel Prize in Physics, the eminent domain that informs climate science, being cancelled? Here we have these people who will be telling us climate science. Oh, God bless us.
Well, we must be paying people too much if they can afford to indoctrinate themselves or pay to be indoctrinated with the stuff, let alone pay the people the wage to be the tutors. As I said, there's a lot of money, and you see it all the time. There's a lot of money in this climate space, and it's not productive for the masses. It's only productive for the few.
Yeah. It is only productive for the few.
Yeah. But the bandwagon is loaded up, and we've got to take the wheels off the bandwagon. We really do. Otherwise, New Zealanders are never going to have low-cost energy. Our economy is going to be threatened consistently by these people taking unearned increments out of everything you and I do. And I can't take it, and I know my kids can't take it. So now they're going to the next generation, trying to get the teenagers on side. Pretty sick, really, isn't it?
And for me, this one, and I know I time and again bring it back to the COVID era, Don, and some of the listeners might be getting a bit fed off of my tendency to do that. But seeing that, hey, Byron Clark and others have pivoted from far right to this, I feel perfectly justified doing that because for me, it comes down to the same thing. Freedom. Where is this climate thing going? Your liberty. This is where you can live. This is what you can eat. This is what you can wear. This is what you can think. This is what you can study. This is the sort of jobs that you'll do. It all comes down to personal liberty, our ability to decide for ourselves as human beings what we want to do. That's under threat. And that's why it is again about personal liberty here.
Yeah, it always has been. It took a long time for it to be that obvious to me, but it's become very clear. And I'm thankful for the producers of this movie this documentary to put up stuff that makes it for consumption for people like me and regular sort of watchers.
I'd like to have one small clip, I think, that may bring this topic together better than I can, to talk about the freedom aspect of it. And here goes.
Environmentalists like to pose as anti-establishment, but their demands are well-received and piously echoed by King Charles and the Archbishop of Canterbury, the BBC, the UN, the EU, by heads of government, the World Bank and World Economic Forum. In fact, by the entire state-funded ruling establishment.
Global warming is like the perfect problem that government can get involved in to grow the influence of government.
It's a wonderful way to increase government power. And if there's an existential threat out there that's worldwide, well, you need a powerful worldwide government, you know, to cope with it.
If you're a climate activist, you're actually facilitating a huge validation of the government running our lives.
Many environmentalists, most environmentalists, all environmentalists who consider themselves to be radical, progressive alternatives are in fact simply reinforcing the mantras and the mainstream arguments of the entire establishment.
The demands on the government mean that the government suddenly gains the authority to interfere into every nook and cranny of our lives and how we live.
And that is where my problem lies with this. Mm-hmm. I want less government. I don't want any more babysitters. I want us to be able to manage our lives as mature human beings should be able to, instead of having all these do-gooders tell us how we should live our lives, especially the likes of, you know, Prince Charles and all of them. No, thank you.
Mm-hmm. The ruling class, the ruling elites, how people get in amongst all that and then become so arrogantly virtuous is incredible. And we've got to take them down. We really do have to take them, give them a lesson.
And one person who has been trying her absolute darndest to take them down and spread the message of how nefarious Agenda 21 is, a repeat guest today, who we'll be having on right after this break, Dr. Ileana Johnson from US. She'll be beaming in again today, and we'll be talking this time more specifically about Agenda 21. Incidentally, if you're not able to listen to the full show, when you listen to the replay later, as I hope you will, there'll be links for you to be able to download a copy of Agenda 21, which is still available on the UNSGG platform, just so you know that we're not talking out of a hat. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on Greenwashed. We'll be back in a moment.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom by simply visiting www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.